to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
All right, folks, we're back. Hour two of the National Intel Reports, live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network here in Little Round Rock, Texas, a suburb of Austin, on this Friday, the 22nd of September. One more call here from my guest today, Mark Dankoff, John in Texas. Hello, John.
I wanted to talk about the Israeli involvement in 911.
Okay.
Starting at Boston Logan, the company in charge of security was ICTS, and the guys running that was Menachem Atzman and Ezra Harrell. They're not Islamics. They're Jewish. Going down to the Pentagon Defense Policy Board, now, as you know or may not know, the standard time for intercepting an airplane that's not answering air traffic route control, the standard time for intercepting that airplane that's not answering is 15 minutes. Now, on 911, those airplanes were off course for about an hour and 40 minutes or so without any intercept. So who was it that kept the airplanes on the ground? No NORAD fighter jets. Well, that was Richard Pearl, Henry Kissinger, Douglas Thief, Paul Wolfowitz, and some others. None are Islamics. They are all Jewish. Okay, now, never in the history of the world has a high-rise building collapsed because of a fire. Ken Robertson, who designed the Trade Tower, said he designed it to take a hit from a 707.
Multiple hits.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the difference in the fuel load of a 707 and a 767? Answer is practically none. Both of them carry a little over 20,000 gallons. Going on, Louis Caccioli of Fire Engine 14, I think it was, said that he heard bombs going off in the building while he was trying to rescue people. Teresa Velitz said that as she was watching it, she would see these red flashes going off in the building. She said it was just like somebody had a console and was pushing the buttons to create these explosions. Dr. Stephen Jones, I think he's professor of Brigham Young University, managed to get close enough to it, in spite of FEMA's protection of the scam, to see some of the residue, and he said it looked like thermite bombs to him.
Thermite, yes.
But he could not get a real inspection of it. Why not? Well, the conspiracy got the metal shipped out of the country immediately, something like 250,000 tons to India and Communist China for recycling. Dr. Frederick Maurer, University of Maryland Fire Engineering Department,
which,
said,
by the way, let me interject something, John, which are the same people, by the way, that recycled a lot of the steel from Oklahoma City, too, from what I understand.
Well, it's the same kind of scam. In Oklahoma City, you remember, General Benton Parton pointed out that no way could McVeigh's bomb have touched those massive steel and concrete pillars that came down without touching the rest of it.
That's right.
So in Oklahoma City bombing, the debris, by the way, was not blown from the parking lot into the building. It was blown from the building out into the parking lot.
That's right.
Okay.
John, let me, I'll keep Mark here to respond to your call, and you can listen offline. We'll take this hard break, spend a few more minutes with Mark Dankoff, and then I'm bringing up Jack Otto, author of World War III. We'll do that right after this. Stick around, folks.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Digestive problems can be miserable. Get rid of acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, and excessive bloating naturally. Gastrinex is the wild and natural herbal support for all digestive problems. It's a powerful blend of herbs, spices, and enzymes to stop digestive problems quickly. For any digestive need, take Gastrinex. Call 800-243-5242 today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best kept secret in the world today is that it is now possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star Wars technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com. Or call 702-953-0267.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, we are back. Mark, any comment on the gentleman's call?
Well, just briefly, because I know you've got another guest coming, I, in principle, know exactly where he's coming from. I started down this same road myself when I first began to read Stephen Jones' research, the fellow he cited from Brigham Young University. And then I started reading Paul Craig Roberts' articles on this whole World Trade Center situation. I might remind the readers that and the listeners that Roberts was a figure in the at the Wall Street Journal, and was also an assistant Treasury Secretary under President Reagan. And then Morgan Reynolds, who was a professor emeritus at Texas A&M and former director of the Criminal Justice Center at the National Center for Policy Analysis in Dallas, and who also was a chief economist for the Labor Department during George W. Bush's first term, has also brought into play an analysis of the impossibility of the official government explanation on this in regard to how those buildings came down. The official explanation, of course, is that you basically had a free fall as a result of these impacts, whereas Jones and Roberts and Reynolds have presented a lot of compelling scientific evidence, I think, to the uninitiated like me, that these buildings actually pancaked, and that they quite definitely pancaked, probably due to a series of simultaneous explosions of the type that the caller was making reference to.
Right.
I'm aware of the issue of the Israeli security company and other Israeli contractors and subcontractors being involved both at Logan Airport in Boston as well as elsewhere. Christopher Bolin and Michael Collins Piper, of course, have done a lot of work on this with American Free Press. And as you look at how all of this stuff is slowly but surely beginning to come out, I think it's noteworthy to emphasize again to the listeners that this business of going to war in and with Iraq well predates 9/11. You get under the web pages of the Project for the New American Century, which involved people like Kissinger and Wolfowitz and Douglas Feith and some of the other people that the caller cited. It's abundantly clear that this organization and all of the top people connected with it who have been advising President Bush on this war, they wanted this war well before 9/11. It had nothing to do with 9/11. Saddam Hussein had no links to al-Qaeda or to 9/11. And this whole thing with what happened up in New York on September the 11th, 2001, gets us back to the fundamental question of who benefited. And in terms of the groups that wanted to go to war in that part of the world prior to 9/11, it's quite clear that what happened at the World Trade Center created the public climate to support what had already been decided upon prior to the 11th of September 2001. That then leads us to the dovetailing of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and what St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. Franklin Delano Roosevelt once said that nothing in politics happens by accident. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places.
That's right. Hey, Mark, it's been a pleasure, and we will talk further. We'll work out a scheduling. We've got to do a few things here to work out the schedule to clear some time off. But I definitely want you, because of the fact that you are a researcher, you understand the Judeo-Christian problem, and you can speak authoritatively on that, being a pastor and going to seminary. So I'm looking forward to this. I think it is going to be, as they say in the business, a good marriage.
Okay, John, God bless you, and God bless all those folks out there in airtime that are listening to us, and look forward to being of help.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Without further ado, the gentleman that he and I have been friends for a number of years has somebody had asked him the question one time when I wanted to start a network, well, do you think he could actually pull it off? And Jack's response was, well, why don't you give him a crack and let him see if he can do it? I got Jack Otto on the line with me. Hello, Jack.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I got my claws and fangs all sharpened, ready to take a chunk out of that New World Order.
Hey, by the way, before we get rolling here, what is your T-shirt size?
2X.
2X? Okay. I'm going to send you up a couple of RBN shirts.
Oh, thank you.
I'm telling you, these things are great, and we need some people up there in Michigan to... Well, there's a lot of people up in Michigan that know who I am and know what I've been doing, but I'm going to send you up a couple of these fancy little T-shirts. All right.
Can you do me a favor and,
yeah,
and a couple bumper stickers, too?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely, and I'll send you some business cards, too.
Oh, great.
All right. Now that we've gotten the promotional stuff out of the way, Jack, you and I have been friends for how many years now?
Yeah, since the early 90s.
Yeah. And
about 90, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. And I've heard people have heard me talk on the air. We all remember our common friend Don. I was working in a company, and he always used to slide up next to me and say, you know, John, did you see this? And he was one of these guys that was always putting stuff in my face when I'd walk out on a manufacturing floor. And you know, I didn't pay him that much mind, Jack, and I had occasion to be a captive audience, and my first introduction to the New World Order was Myron Fagan's Illuminati tapes. And there we were, bolting a rear end up to my old Camaro, and obviously I couldn't go anywhere, and Don very capriciously brought over a tape recorder, and there's Myron Fagan's tape playing, and afterwards, we were cleaning up, and he said, you know, he says, there's a guy that I know that can speak a lot better on this subject. Would you mind if he came over to your house? And lo and behold, you did, Jack. I think you and I had spent about eight and a half hours. And if you remember what I had said to you, you brought over videos and a lot of documentation. And I said to you, you said, well, I've got to teach school tomorrow and I've got to get up early. And I stood up and shook your hand, and I told you, Jack, I said, I don't know whether to kiss you or kick you. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do recall that.
And it's been fascinating because you were my introduction to the New World Order and the globalist plan back then. And, folks, this is how it happens, that you have people that are concerned, people that have the information that can present it credibly. And, well, that was the start of me not only in a radio career but starting two different networks. And here we are talking on it today, Jack.
Well, let me tell my side of this, the same story. You know, we go out and we try to tell people about the New World Order, and so many of them scoff at us. They call you names, and it's discouraging. You don't even want to talk to people about it anymore. You're only doing it because you know you've got to. Well, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going around talking to people about the New Order, New World Order, and I'm doing the best I can, even though people are scoffing at me and calling me names and taking their finger and working it around the outside of the ear to make gestures like you're nuts. But every once in a while, you do some good. Somebody's willing to listen. They'll read your materials. They'll listen to some of your audio or video tapes. And I got to tell you, every once in a while, you hit pay dirt. It's like a salesman that knocks on doors. You may not get a salesman at a sale at every door, but, you know, if you want more sales, you got to knock on more doors. And one day, I talked to a guy that started up a couple of networks and expanded out into a big system where the world's got a chance here at kicking the devil out of this New World Order. But I got to tell you, John, I got to agree with the princess that said, you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find a prince.
Well, Jack, those are kind words. And you were the one basically responsible for bringing me into the fold, turning on the porch light, and the porch light never went out. There was always somebody home there, but you're right. We've talked a lot about this over the years, Jack, that, you know, you just got to keep hitting it. You got to keep hitting it. You cannot get discouraged. Look where we are now versus where we were back in the early to mid-90s. Look where we're at today. Look how many people we're able to reach now. Look at all the events.
And when gas was 50 cents a gallon.
Yeah. And it didn't matter if you were driving a gas guzzler because you could still afford to motor around in it. And as the years go by, there's been more that has been added to the plate. But suffice it to say, through the Waco, my first guest, by the way, in studio was Randy Weaver. And we all know the story there. And just over the years, there's been one atrocity after the other. And things lit fire again, once again, when the 9/11 issue rolled around. There's people worldwide, Jack, that know now that 9/11 was an inside job. And to the point where one organization that represents 7,000 family members that had lost family members in the 9/11 inside job, that the majority, and I'm saying a very, very high percentage of them, believe now that 9/11 was an inside job. So through their lies and their deceit and their murder and their mayhem, more and more and more people are waking up. And they say that timing is everything. We are here at the proper time, but we need to expand this venue rapidly. We need to get this message out to as many people as humanly possible. And here's one guy on the air today that knocked on this man's door, and he never went back to sleep. For that, Jack, I owe you an immense amount of gratitude.
So I'm not going to get the kick?
No, you're not going to get the kick. You're going to get,
okay,
you're going to get the kiss. Jack, your book, you spent 20-some years. Oh, we're getting interrupted by a break here. But you'd spent 20-some years researching this book. And we are going to somewhere find the money that we're going to turn this into a paperback. And your work is going to get out to a lot of people. And I want to discuss what is in your book. And we will do that, ladies and gentlemen, right after this break. You want to know where I came from? Well, You're listening to the man right now that's majorly responsible of me being here. We'll be right back.
Order the DVD of a lifetime, Into Evidence, Truth, Lies, and Unresolved Mysteries in the Murder of JFK. This landmark video is the most comprehensive presentation ever delivered on the assassination and features the leading experts in every field of scientific investigation. 32 hours of research presented on the most controversial murder of the 20th century. This compilation will make a great addition to your collection. To order this beautifully packaged 8-DVD set, visit our website, intoevidence.net/US.
If you're like the millions of Americans living day to day, trying to make ends meet, then you wouldn't want to pass up this opportunity. Employment and job security are at an all-time low, while the cost of living, supporting your family or lifestyle, and credit card debt just keep going up. So what if I told you there was a way to earn the kind of money you need and deserve? Build financial freedom. Secure a future for you and your family. And do it all right from the comfort of your own home with no money at risk. Now you can by starting your own business and becoming a part of the LifeWave team. LifeWave has developed a line of groundbreaking products using drug-free and chemical-free patches which work along the same principles as Qi that Asian cultures have used for thousands of years. LifeWave patches energize the body's own bioelectrical field to help create more energy and stamina, improve rest and concentration, and relieve muscle aches and pains without putting any type of stimulants or other substance into your body. This is something that everyone can use. All lifestyles, all ages. Just think of the possibilities. Now you can stop living in the past, get out of debt, and become part of the future, your future, by starting your own business today and becoming part of a LifeWave team. To learn how you can become part of the LifeWave team, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't sit back and let this opportunity pass you by. Take charge of your future. Act now.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The counsel to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest, mentor Jack Otto. And I want to also tell you folks that what I've been reading passages out of for the last couple of days is Jack B. Otto. Jack, what's the B stand for? I never knew.
Bruce.
Bruce?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jack B. Otto, his book, World War III, that we are going to get in paperback, but you can order this thing right now. And it's in a format right now that's very easy to read. But you can call Jack at 313-582-2481 to get a copy of this book.
Not right now, because we're using the line for this broadcast.
Exactly. Or if you want, what is the price of this book? I know it costs you a lot to print this thing.
Ask $25 or a good sob story.
Okay, $25 or a good sob story. And let me put out his address right now. Jack B. Otto, O-T-T-O, P.O. Box 256, Dearborn Heights, Michigan, 48127. And that number again, do not call that number until Jack gets off the program, 313-582-2481. His book is $25, folks. And I'll tell you what, Jack, for the first time in this broadcaster's history, talking about the roots of socialism, communism, the overthrow in Russia, talking about all these different issues, I'm so close to the target here that they absolutely had to pound me. They brought up better than a 100,000-watt jammer to jam my broadcast. So that was the first time in nearly a 14-year radio career that they had bothered to do that. And I've covered a lot of different topics on this show.
Do you know where the jam came from?
It was so pervasive, it's hard to say. There was some speculation by the shortwave people that this might have even originated from Israel itself.
Really?
So, there you go.
And it hit you with more than one transmitter. It's hard to tell where it comes from.
Well, and that's true. And I've been subject to regional jamming before, but this time they did it. Now, your book, World War III, you go through the litany of high treason, the seeds of tyranny, the Illuminist, the Illuminati folks, the French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Congress in Vienna, Jacob Schiff, he snatches America's pocketbook, and that refers to the Fed Reserve inside this country. And then you go into communism, political Zionism, cultivating World War I, and as I call it, World War I Part II. And we see how the League of Nations, they figured that they were going to do something dramatic enough that people were going to run scared and demand that we have this world body, which also Jack goes into the book as to the United Nations and how, not by accident, it has always been led by a staunch, dyed-in-the-wool communist. The
League of Nations is something that they brought out after World War I and tried to run on us for a second time to bring about world government. The first time was right after the Napoleonic Wars, and it was the Tsar of Russia who got the whiff of the stench of what was going on because he had read about the Illuminati before and Weishaupt's plans to take over the whole world. And so he was the one that personally shot down their efforts to bring about that Congress in Vienna and run around sovereignty, try to get everybody under this world government banner.
Well, and of course, after World War, well, actually, it was before World War I, we had the Tsar of Russia. There was a little coup d'etat that took place. That was the birth of communism. And I've always recounted this, Jack, that Patton knew the game. General George Patton knew the game. And after they cleaned up the little problem with Hitler's Germany, he wanted to roll right into Russia and kill communism. But that wasn't necessarily the game plan for the Illuminists, was it?
No, they had people in charge. Franklin Delano Roosevelt came from the Delanos. They were drug traffickers. They were the ones behind the Opium Wars and the Boxer Revolution in China. And his partner was the one that run the ships with the skull and bones on it and gave enough money to Yale University that they could start their own chapter of 322 of the skull and, of the Illuminati, the skull and bones. So we're talking about the same people, all of them who have these pseudo-Jewish names.
And what was Roosevelt's real name, Jack?
Rosenfeld. As was his grandfather before him, and his fifth cousin Teddy, who was also president of the United States, just because they were insiders and they had the influence.
Well, and there was another character jumping back here to World War One. Of course, Edward Mandel House. People never understood down here in Central Texas, Jack, why I would call Austin Moscow on the Colorado. They never understood what I was referencing. And we had this this wonderful little guy, Philip Drew Administrator, that wrote his supposedly fictional book, and he was the handler for Woodrow Wilson, that Wilson decried that what he had done to his country. And if you look at this, and if you look at the formation of the Federal Reserve System that gave the Illuminists control, absolute and total control of the United States starting in 1913, well, the rest, as they say, is history. We'll talk a little bit more about it. We'll also take your calls. We'll squeeze a few calls in here. We're going to skip to our affiliates. We're going to skip the last break in the last half hour of this broadcast. We'll have about 30 minutes running uninterrupted. We'll be right back with my good friend, Jack Otto.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you have trouble getting out of bed in the morning? Do you wish that you had more strength and energy throughout the day? Well, North American Urban Spice has the solution. Royal Power is an all-natural and stimulant-free answer to all of your energy needs. Get energy fast and make yourself powerful. Get Royal Power now. Call 1-800-243-5242 for more information. 800-243-5242.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best kept secret in the world today is that it is now possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star Wars technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, we are back, folks. Jack Otto is with me. And Jack, what I was talking about, one of the new salespeople that just came in about a month ago, and he's motoring down the highway right now, walked outside to check our jam frequency on 12180. And he got out of his truck to come back in during the break. He had this look on his face. He said, Colonel Edward Mandel House, he said, I've got a book on this guy. He said, that's why I called Austin, Moscow on the Colorado. So it hits people. They know a little bit. All of a sudden, boom, all of a sudden there's the tie-in.
His father had proved his loyalty to the Rothschilds by running the blocks down in Texas, taking gold shipments down there for him. That's why Mandel House was trusted enough to be the handler for Woodrow Wilson, whose real name was Wolfson.
Jack, this is real provable history. The one question I've had is, why was Bill Clinton the only president of the United States that his records, his birth records, are sealed? Any indication of what Bill Clinton's real name is?
When Bogreitz was running for president, he had one of his people call to Clinton's campaign headquarters and ask what his mother's maiden name was. And the lady on the other end said to his caller, "Why, that's Rockefeller." He says, "Oh, which Rockefeller family did he come from?" She says, "Well, why do you need to know this?" Then they clammed up. They didn't want to hear any more about it. But now, you know, the insiders oftentimes use inbreeding. And there is a rumor that his mother's maiden name had been Rockefeller, and that Winthrop himself had done her. And that's what you get is Clinton here, who is passing himself off as a fine Christian man who had a little slippage there, but he's a good-hearted guy, and his wife is going to be our next president.
Well, and he just had his 60th birthday. Oh, isn't that lovely? I mean, here's a man that, if you look at the free trade area of America's, Jack, and here is the mirror to the European Union, the second step in a three-step program to bring about world government. They're not done toppling power structures that have value, that have oil, that have commodity. They're not quite done yet. And this is why we're in the Middle East right now. That's many faceted, the reasons why we're in the Middle East, but we're well into the second stage of three stages of world government, and our man, G.W. Bush, the traitor that he is the man that last March brought about the mirror to the European Union.
Isn't it wonderful that we've got traitors like that? Now, this CAFTA thing that was passed here not too long ago is just an extension of the NAFTA treaty. And CAFTA is the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And we find that in there, there's an element that is just absolutely hideous. It's called Codex Alimentarius, in which we find that we're not going to be able to get our over-the-counter natural herbs that we'd like to take. That kind of stuff is only available if a doctor sees fit to give you a prescription.
Well, and this,
sometimes it's hard enough to get these doctors to be reasonable.
But this also affected you personally, Jack. You've got congestive heart failure, and these doctors were writing you off a long time ago. You went to the alternative medicines, if you will, the herbal treatments, and obviously, unless I'm talking to a recording right now, you're still alive and well, my friend.
Yeah, they told me I didn't have much time unless I had a heart transplant. The old ticker was so far gone that there's nothing they could do about it. They couldn't even do bypass surgery or anything. My lateral anterior descending artery was totally blocked. And I told them, thank you, but no thank you, I'm not getting the surgery. And they said, well, you better put your affairs in order. You only got a couple of years. And here I am, 6 years later, still sassy.
Jack, I hope you have many, many, many more years in which to come, because you've done a lot of good work, and you've woken me up. Tell you what, let's slide a call in here. John in California. Hello, John.
Yes, I'm out here visiting on vacation. This is why I wanted to call. I normally call you from Florida. I had a good conversation with the stewardess about RBN, about loose change, different things, and she sounded like she was interested. And I did ask the pilot what happened to the two Boeing or the two Pratt & Whitney engines in the Pentagon, and he couldn't answer. He says, "I don't know."
Well, yeah. Here's and Jack, 9/11. I've never spoken to you directly about this, but your thoughts on 9/11?
I think the smoking gun here, and the thing that really makes it most conclusive for me, is that if you take jet fuel, which is nothing more than diesel fuel or number two fuel oil and or kerosene, and you atomize it with oxygen, the highest temperature you can get is about 1,800 degrees. Steel melts at 2,795 degrees. We're 1,000 degrees short of having that steel melt.
Well, and the NSIT just recently came out and said, and everybody was told, and this is burned into people's minds, just as Osama bin Laden and his box cutter friends from a cave in Afghanistan could pull off this operation inside the United States. That, you know, here we have the pancake theory that had been burned into people's memory. And the NIST has just come out recently with a paper saying that, no, it was not a pancake theory. What happened was that these steel girders in the buildings, they were laid out on trusses. There was cement in there, and these pulled inwards and pulled away from the outward walls and away from the central columns, and that's what caused the two buildings to collapse. So, Jack, they can't even get their story straight. They've got so many lies and so much deception around this that is absolutely incredible. But here's the good news. Millions of people around the world are waking up. I don't know what George Bush is going to do, because I'll tell you, he's got hounds on his heels. The hounds of hell are on this man's heels. And I don't know how he's going to make it through two more years of presidency without being charged with treason, just on the free trade area of America's deal, aside from everything else.
Well, he certainly got trouble coming for him, and rightly so. Now, in the Skull and Bones, his bones name is temporary. So I expect that somehow he is going to be removed from the scene. They might fake his death like they did Hitler's or some of these other guys, and use that as an excuse for a backlash on some element of society. Hopefully not the militia, because they would surely like to go after the people that believe in the Second Amendment. We're supposed to be free people. Mm-hmm. And it's Thomas Jefferson that said, I think, the very best. He says, when the government is afraid of the people, there is liberty. But when the people is afraid of the government, it's tyranny.
Yeah, they got a lot of people that are afraid out there. Anything else, John?
Yes. I was reading a newspaper yesterday, I think it was in Sacramento, and they talked about Boeing, I believe, building a 700-mile fence, double fence, across the border.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what's that going to do? That's going to keep Americans in the country, not keep illegals out.
Well, and if you take a look at this, they've been underplaying the number of illegals in this country right now. And, you know, it's closer anywhere from 30 to 40 million illegals. And I've said this before. Thanks for your call, John, by the way.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You know, it wasn't an accident, Jack, that we had Univision popping up, and then you can tune the dial into any city, any radio station, and you have a plethora of Spanish-speaking stuff. You call call the phone company, folks. Call any business. Call anybody. Do you want this in English or do you want it in Spanish? Well, I'm sorry. If there's only 10, 11 million people here that don't know how to speak English, then why would these people out of a country of 300 million, why would they be so concerned about just 10 or 11 million people that, well, they're going to have to learn a little bit of English? Doesn't make sense, does it, Jack?
Well, it does if you understand the whole game plan and the big picture. Part and parcel of what they want to do to disrupt America and the philosophy and the thoughts of the American people, who are so entrenched in this notion of freedom, and they really would like for them to give it up, that what they intend to do is rip off the southwest section of America and annex it back onto Mexico. This is part of jumbling things around for the New World Order. And it's all this is going to materialize as soon as they get a chance to solidify their base. And they're close now. They really do have us on the ropes. The money here in America is about worthless, so our pensions and everything else is pretty much shot. Social Security is already on the ropes. General Motors and Fords are almost going down for the count now.
Well, and what firm? I just saw in the Detroit News today, there's a firm up there that's laying off hundreds and hundreds of people up there. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I've been watching Detroit and Michigan real closely with all the layoffs, all the planned layoffs, the merger with GM and Renault and Nissan, that's being put on hold. And even the rumors are flying around. How about this, folks, that General Motors and Ford may have to go in business together in order to survive. So I guess you'll be driving your Chevrolet Galaxy 500 or something before too long. Jack, it's really bad up there in Michigan, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We have, in the Detroit metropolitan area, been watching homes go back to the banks and to the state for taxes at a rate of $10,000 a month.
$10,000 a month. Now, and here was the manufacturing basis. Henry Ford, Jack. I was surprised. Gosh, there's so many things that are flashing through my head right now. I can't contain myself. But up there in Dearborn, Michigan, you're actually not too far from Dearborn up there, are you?
Oh, I'm right next to it.
Right next to it. And Henry Ford, with his assembly lines and building industry in Michigan, folks, yeah, back in the day, back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, you know, Michigan around Detroit was the place to be. Good paying jobs, good health benefits. We were just riding high, but now up there we've got foreclosures, as Jack just said, $10,000 a month. People are losing their homes right and left. They're claiming that there's some roughly 350,000 unemployed, but these are the ones that are still being counted on the unemployment rolls. Unemployment in Michigan is probably somewhere close to a million, if not over, a million people displaced up there.
It all depends on how you look at it. If yes, you're right, if you want to look at how many people aren't in Michigan are not working. But that's not the way the government does this. When they look at people who are unemployed, they are talking about people who are laid off from their job and collecting unemployment. Once your unemployment runs out, you're no longer considered unemployed.
But look at how many businesses. That's a lot of money that was, once people got paychecks, they were paying mortgages and they were buying durable goods. They were doing a lot of things. This is a cascading effect, is now in effect in Michigan, and it's going to get real, real tough.
America run for almost a couple hundred years on tariffs. If you wanted to bring a product into the country that would compete with something we already got here, they put a tariff on it so that it was more expensive than what slave labor could put it out for. So when you got a foreign car, it didn't come a whole lot cheaper. Now this new Chinese car is going to be dirt cheap, and there's no way we can compete against it.
No, none whatsoever.
It's just tearing the life out of America. And what are they, China, doing with all those extra dollars they've got from business with America? They're buying up all the copper they possibly can. And buying up cement plants, too.
Gee, does it sound like they're in a building stage?
They sure are. See, they've got slave labor that makes about 17 cents an hour. There's no way our people are going to be able to compete with it.
Well, in the last, Mark Dankoff last hour, Jack, I don't know if you heard it or not, but he just recounted we have like an $800 billion. Now, folks, imagine what a $1 billion is. That's $1,000 million. Now think of $1 billion. Now times that by 800. We have an $800 billion deficit right now here with trade and deficit here in America, and 70 to 75% of our manufacturing capability has been gutted right out of this country. What do you think is going to happen to this country? The next economic burp that we have. They're now starting to say very quietly, Jack, on the Wall Street, the pep boys for the stock market, which is pretty much at an all-time high, pretty much an all-time pre-99 high here. Jack, when this thing collapses, it's going to go so fast and so hard, people are not going to know what hit them.
I'm afraid it's going to sink like the Twin Towers did.
Yeah, maybe even faster than free fall. Yeah, and the Wall Street boys are quietly saying the D word, not the R word, not recession. But they're talking possibly if this thing goes and starts to cascade, it'll go rather quickly, and there could be another worldwide depression that's going to make 1929 look like the warm-up, the stage play for the warm-up. No, folks, it's going to get tough, and you're starting to see. I would urge people to start paying attention. Go online. Start reading the Detroit News online or the Free Press online. Start to find out what's really going on up in Michigan. And things are not that rosy down here in Texas with the dot-coms bursting wide open. Dell stock that was riding real high is somewhere around 17, 18 bucks now. It is starting to leak. The Dutchie boy doesn't have enough fingers to plug this dam. Let's go back to the phones here. Joyce in Georgia. Hello, Joyce.
Hi, John.
Hi.
It's really nice to talk with you. I'm an elderly woman. I'm retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching this stuff going on for years and years and years. and they're just tearing it down piece by piece by piece. They are masters at using Hegel's dialectic. You know, they present a problem, and then they present a fix for the problem, and first thing you know, they've got what they wanted, you know, which is our loss and their gain. And I'm so upset over it. And I try to talk to people that I know, and they tell me I'm nuts.
Well, tell them to tune in this network. Tell them to go online at rbnlive.com. Or if there happens to be a radio station down there, or if they've got the ability for satellite. And instead of them hearing you speak, which they've already decided that you're some kind of, you know, you've slipped your cogged and your cheese is sliding off your cracker there, ma'am, because, well, you just don't know. You're part of living history. You as you've recounted, you've seen the destruction of America going on. Maybe they need to hear the other voice talking.
I tell you what, if people don't open their eyes and ears pretty soon, they're going to be sitting here without a penny, without a slice of bread, and then you're going to be willing to do anything they want you to do just to have something to eat. And I've been telling people that, you know, you better prepare, you better do something, instead of sitting there with your head in a hole, you know, like an ostrich.
I would encourage everybody to become gardeners.
Absolutely.
Get open pollinated seeds. Get yourself some canning jars.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If it's at all possible, raise chickens and cattle.
Yeah.
Do what you can to be self-sufficient.
That's correct. Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't. I live in a little trailer park, and I have a little postage stamp that my trailer sits on, and so I don't even have room to grow anything. But I am working towards trying to get hold of a little piece of land, even if it's only an acre. To plant something to eat,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, an acre is more than enough. On 1 acre, a family of four can grow enough food, if they can preserve it with canning and drying, to last them for 10 years.
That's true. And what are our young people going to do that are not aware of any of these processes?
They're going to be turning to people like yourself that now they're turning their back on you. You're going to have a lot of friends here in the near future, ma'am.
Oh, I'm pretty sure of it. I am pretty sure of it.
Okay, Joyce. Thank you.
I would certainly like to have one of Mr. Otto's books.
Okay.
How do I get hold of that?
Jack?
I'm asking $25 or a good sob story. Send your order to me, Jack Otto, OTTO, at Post Office Box 256 in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Where the zip code is 48127.
48127.
48127. $25.
And if you call don't call right now, but if you call the 313-582-2481, Jack, and that $25, that's postpaid, right, Jack?
Yeah, that covers everything.
Okay, great.
No, that's a good price for all that information.
Oh, and wait till you read the... Oh, yeah, once you read this book, you will have absolutely no doubt of what we've been talking about. This is one of the premier researchers here that has covered the basis. And as I said, Joyce, I owe Jack a lot because he's the one that got me cranked up. You know, you'll keep running across pieces of coal, but every once in a while you'll find somebody that's been under pressure a little bit, and you find that diamond in the rough. Well, that's Jack, my friend. Hey, Joyce, thank you. I appreciate it.
I just found you guys maybe an hour or two ago.
Really?
Hours ago. Yeah. I just found you on the Internet, so I've been listening since you started your program.
Well, Joyce, keep listening, dear.
I certainly will.
All righty, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
How about that one, Jack? She just found us an hour ago.
She's on a fixed income.
Yeah.
She's retired.
Yeah.
And this inflation just hurts like nobody's business because it always increases at an increasing rate. So it's not going to be long before gasoline and bread is more than $3 a loaf or gallon, as the case may be. Pretty soon it's going to be 10, then 100, then 1,000, then 20,000, then 1,000,000. Now, we're going to be getting $1 million and a couple million a week, but... only going to buy you a couple loaves of bread at that time.
Yeah, look at the hyperinflation that's set in Germany. Yeah, and folks, keep something in mind, that we are running an ongoing pledge drive for this network. I'm not satisfied where this network is at right now. We need to bring this venue to many more people because the time is very, very short. And the only thing we have to do is survive this first wave, and then we get to pick up the pieces. It's not going to be that easy, and it's not going to be that pleasant. And knowledge is the displacer of fear. One more call here. Judy in Georgia. Hello, Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to, first I want to make a comment, then I want to ask a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
I heard y'all say that, you know, he was talking about the government, fearing the people or the people fearing the government. I think if you have got a healthy society, you don't have the government fearing the people or vice versa, but you have a relationship of trust if it's healthy. But I want to ask a couple questions. Number one, where does he get his information on the Illuminati? And number two, I want to ask his opinion about Thomas Watson. Y'all talk about Hitler a lot. I would think Thomas Watson, who owned IBM, who was responsible for getting all the information for Hitler with the Jews, and you know he ended up owning IBM and running IBM and doing all that work for Hitler. You know, and I was just wondering, why wasn't he ever indicted for treason?
Okay.
He was an insider.
That's what I was wondering. Was he part of it?
They'll destroy anybody around them that gets in their way, but they find excuses for their own.
I was wondering, he must have been part of that whole thing. I don't know.
Oh, yes,
but,
he was. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Schroeder was his banker, and so was Bush's banker, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Heidinger, you know, really ran it, ran the machines there that got all the information for the Jews and everything. But, yeah, I was listening to that book, I get books on tape, IBM Holocaust, and it tells all the specifics of that. You know, it just amazed me that Thomas Watson never was indicted for treason. And it was a well-known fact that he had supplied all that information.
Well, Nazi Germany ran on Rockefeller's chemical engineering to make gasoline, a benzene, out of coal. Now those patents are all gone. The technology's gone. Nobody knows where it is, but Rockefeller still got it. And he never got indicted, even though he was part and parcel of that whole Nazi war machine.
Judy, we have to let you go. We're out of time.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Jack, let me put out your information again. Jack B. Otto. If you want a copy of this book, $25 postpaid. Jack B. Otto, O-T-T-O, P.O. Box 256, Dearborn Heights, Michigan, 48127. And the phone number, and be patient, because that phone's probably going to be busy for a few hours here, 313-582-2481. Jack, my friend, we're going to get your book, we're going to get this thing published. It's a great, great book, chock full of information. And ladies and gentlemen, it'll start to open up your eyes as to who the groups were involved and who the bloodlines are that are still around today and the wonderful people that brought you the New World Order. Jack, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you Monday with another edition of the National Intel Report. And we're doing an ongoing pledge drive here, 800-724-2719. Step up, make the commitment, make the pledge per month. We are short of time. We need to expand this word to as many people as humanly possible. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you Monday.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.